Hello and welcome to the Right Dishonourable podcast, screaming into your internet echo chamber one painful episode at a time. My name's Jimmy and I voted to leave the EU in 2016.
And I'm Jazza and I've been quietly singing the praises of Nigel Farage in my head because his desire to be relevant again has forced him to back a second referendum, which is all I want in this world. I voted Remain. In case the singing phrases of Nigel Farage and the desire to stay in the EU is contradictory in any way.
It is definitely contradictory.
It is somewhat, but I quite like him at the moment. It's right on the table. Anyway, we meet every week, more or less, to talk about current events, social issues and politics. Hey Jimmy, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. This is actually our 100th episode.
3 digits.
Yes.
It's going to be a while until we hit 4 digits, so let's lap this up as much as we can.
Jesus. We can have celebrations at 250 and 500, though. That's legit.
Yeah, sure. Those are round numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Not 200, though.
No. For some reason.
What are we going to talk about this week, Jimmy?
This week, we are going to be discussing Nick Clegg's book.
Sir Nick Clegg.
Sir Nick. Nick Clegg. We're going to be discussing Clegg's book on how to stop Brexit, appropriately enough, because, you know, given what Nigel Farage has said this week.
Uh-huh. So the book is called How to Stop Brexit and Make Britain Great Again.
I see what he did there.
Yeah, isn't he clever?
Funny.
Isn't he clever? He has weird solutions to it, though, which is basically create a Europhile insurgency in all of the other parties. It's broadly what he wants to do.
I mean, I only really skim read the solutions bit.
Literally the most important bit, Jimmy.
I don't think it was the most important bit.
What did you prefer? The bit where he just...
Most of it's just like standard campaigning stuff, though, like email people. that is a lot of it. Like, it hassle people, bother people.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, is what a lot of campaigning
bother people.
Is.
That's what we do with this podcast.
Yeah, but we're not...
They've appeared in my sub box again.
You know, people still listen, so some anyway.
We're then going to segue seamlessly, inevitably, into the fact that Nigel Farage, in a bid to be relevant again, has said that he would back... So he initially said that he would back a second referendum to put all of the Ramoners to bed. Well, we're not going to be put to bed that easily, Nigel. But then has kind of slightly shifted his stance to... We're going to prepare for a second referendum because it looks inevitable, which it doesn't.
I wouldn't say so, no.
But I feel like now that he's put it on the table and he's talking about it, it's going to happen, and I couldn't be happier.
Didn't Boris Johnson say something similar about a second referendum?
No, he said... Well, something he said in the last day or so, he mentioned that he wanted... If we didn't get a hard Brexit, he'd rather we stayed in the EU. Mm. Which actually, oddly, is quite close to my opinion on Brexit.
It's also my opinion, so...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, we...
Convergence.
...agree with Boris Johnson.
He's not... I mean, he's one of the worst guys, but he's not the worst guy.
Excellent. and then finally...
Speaking of blonde arseholes...
They're always blonde. What is it? Trump has quite brilliantly, I think, forced all of the 24-hour news cycle media in the United States to start saying shithole on live TV, which has been
hilarious.
A lot
of the newspapers are still starring it out, though.
There's a Twitter bot on Twitter, funnily enough, that automatically tweets whenever the New York Times prints a word that it has never printed before, and it tweeted out shithole.
Oh.
The other day.
The New York Times is famously prurient, isn't it?
Yeah. But quite... I don't know. I feel like it was odd to choose to have shithole as one word. Because in my head, it's two words.
Nah, one word, I think.
Oh, do you think? Well, basically, Donald Trump called... anecdotally, he asked why we are taking immigrants from, quote-unquote... All of the shithole countries talking about
these shithole countries.
These shithole countries, yeah. Referring to the Caribbean and Africa.
Well, that was Haiti, El Salvador, and various African unnamed countries.
Yes, and it's forced a lot of like Botswana's foreign ministry released an official statement saying, hey, Donald Trump, do you think we're a shithole? And in which case, why do you think we're a shithole? We've been very nice to you in the past. Where's the beef, dick? Also, he's thrown a little bit of a temper tantrum again. Because the British people haven't learned to love him, so he's not going to come here and open the embassy and visit the Queen. Oh, well.
Are you sad about that?
I actually am quite sad about it. I was really looking forward to the protest.
I'm pretty indifferent, to be honest with you.
We've been to protests together before. You're very unengaged.
I am unengaged, but I do think protests are largely a waste of time. So.
Yeah, but they're fun.
They can be fun. That's true.
Anyway, shall we ask people for money via Patreon and then talk about these topics?
Sure, why not?
Lovely. That sounds like a plan. Very good. Hello, dear listener. Happy New Year. This is just a quick message to say thank you to the people who are deciding to support us on Patreon. You guys really do make a difference. Specifically, thank you to Agatha, Dominique, Gemma, Matt, and a newbie, Ollie. Hello, Ollie. If you want to have your name read out by me or Jimmy, depending on who's editing the podcast, then head over to patreon.com/rightdishonourable. Cool. Now we're going to get on with the show. Sir Nick Clegg.
Really? You're not going to convert me to that name.
No. Well, he released a book. He's no longer an MP.
Sidebar, you shouldn't get a knighthood just for doing your job.
No, but he was Deputy Prime Minister. He was a big deal.
I mean, he was an important guy in a government. That's
I think
true.
Of all of the people who got knighthoods in the new year, he is one of the least questionable ones. It makes sense that he gets a knighthood rather than the guy who was a junior minister in the transport.
They knighted Ringo Starr as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which didn't make any sense timing-wise, but...
Oh, well, because they needed to pad it out with Brexiters.
Is he a...
Ringo Starr is a Brexiter.
He's a Brexiter.
Yeah. That's the company you keep.
He's the worst Beatle, like, objectively speaking.
Oh, yeah, 100% the worst Beatle. Everyone knows that. Do you remember when he tried to have a solo career? That was sad.
I mean, he also was successful as the voice of the Fat Controller, wasn't he? Wasn't that him?
Was he the Fat Did the Fat Controller have a voice?
He voices someone in Thomas. No, he's the narrator in Thomas the Tank Engine.
Really?
To do with Thomas the Tank Engine.
Nice that he was getting work. Anyway, Nick Clegg released a book called How to Stop Brexit and Make Britain Great Again, where he basically retreads the campaign trail, then suggests what we can do to stop Brexit, open brackets, and make Britain great again, close brackets, and then suggests how the EU can change in order to be more accommodating to Eurosceptic nations like the UK. What did you think, firstly, of his retreading of all of the arguments that he made during the referendum?
Well, I mean, there's various things. There's sort of like just discussing how the EU functions. Mm-hmm. And there's things like, oh, isn't it a shame that young people's votes don't count for more than old people's votes?
I mean, I'm down.
Which I think is pretty disgraceful as a viewpoint to hold.
I think it's a good idea. I like it. I'm not sure how much longer I count as a young person, though.
That's true.
I think I have at most about a year left.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. But... a lot of it is just classic Ramona out of the Guardian bollocks. Like,
bollocks? Were they not valid arguments?
A lot of it specious or just undemocratic in its reasoning. I also just fundamentally disagree with his interpretation of how the EU is progressing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like a more sort of academic kind of dispute, I guess. And I certainly see why he makes the arguments he does. I just don't find them very plausible.
So you wrote a piece for this for the website.
I did. Have you read said piece?
No. Well, you only told... I don't have alerts on. You only told me about 20 minutes ago. What were kind of like your conclusions? Were you as scathing as I think you would be?
Probably, yeah. I think it's slightly ironic that Nick Clegg is leading this argument, because I think he did a great deal during the course of his career to enable Brexit to happen. Like, I mean, in terms of how the Lib Dems performed in the 2015 election, that was crucial. And you can also argue how the coalition government governed was essentially in getting Jeremy Corbyn elected as Labour leader, thus depriving the country of a anti-Brexit opposition.
And a centre-ground party.
And a centre-ground party. So, I mean, that I think is also what makes his knighthood so dubious, to put it mildly. I think so long as Jeremy Corbyn is leader of the Labour Party, attempts to stop Brexit don't really have much hope.
But there are an awful lot of attempts to swing Jeremy Corbyn towards the viewpoint of his members, right? The majority of Labour members at the moment would rather we weren't leaving the European Union.
Labour members, yeah.
Sorry, what did I say?
I don't know.
Oh, Labour members.
Yeah, but he has no real incentive to stop equivocating, and so long as he equivocates, hard Brexit will probably happen. I mean, there's an interview, I think, on one of the Sunday shows this weekend just gone by, where it was made clear he either didn't know or was unwilling to distinguish between the customs union and the single market. And I find it plausible that he just doesn't know the difference, because he's not the brightest guy.
Really?
he's not one of the great thinkers of our times, although I don't know who you would classify in that box.
You, Jimmy, clearly.
But yeah, I guess I just also reject the kind of philosophical grounding of overturning the referendum, because even if you held another referendum and public opinion shifted, I think the optics of it, to use a novel annoying phrase, would be pretty bad.
So we are seeing shifts in polling. We have to always take polling with a pinch of salt. There is now about a 10-point lead. If we were to hold the referendum tomorrow, there's about a 10-point lead for people remaining.
There was a 4-10% lead on the eve of the actual referendum, though.
Yeah.
Is worth remembering.
Yeah, no, sure, which is why we need to take polling with a pinch of salt.
And there was also the YouGov poll from a while back, which suggested that most... I don't know if I want to say most. Obviously, most leavers want the vote to happen, and a significant proportion of Remain voters want the Brexit to actually be carried out at this point. Even if they still think it's a bad idea, they accept the legitimacy of the decision.
So what would you want Remainers like me to do?
Sort of nothing, really. Just accept that you lost a vote.
Uh-huh.
It happens.
We've
lost lots of votes during the course of doing this podcast, I think.
No, this is very true.
You won more than me, but you know, we lost the AV vote, and we didn't say, oh, we should probably just hold another one. When, you know.
But when there is... the AV vote was a defining...
It was
like,
two-thirds.
It's a very definitive vote.
But
you
can make a lot of the same arguments about the way the campaign was conducted as you can about the Brexit vote, in that... The Tory campaign against the sort of against AV saying, oh, you know, the cost of this voting system is like, you know, a helmet for a soldier in Afghanistan or something, was just as misleading and kind of abusive of communication as the Brexit campaign.
But something that is very much argued in Remainer circles is that there wasn't a clear vision for what Brexit looked like. It was just binary, leave the EU, stay in the EU. At least with AV, we knew what we would have gotten if we had voted to change the voting system. What do you, like, we've talked about this a lot, but what you say to people who have those views?
I don't really think it's relevant. Essentially it was a vote, we're talking about the Aziz Ansari sort of sexual assault story.
How are you going to link this in?
It's about consent at the end of the day. You have to have consent to have government. There is no consent for British membership of the EU anymore. It's irrelevant that there's no clear plan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is what I would say.
Nick Clegg, we'll talk about the possibility of a second referendum later on when we chat Farage. But Clegg does seem to champion the idea of, if we are to reverse the decision, it has to be a democratic one that's taken to the people again.
We should say about Nick Clegg's position is he doesn't want to revert to the status quo before the referendum.
Yeah.
He wants us to move to an outer orbit of the EU, which I think...
Which is something that Macron, the French president, has been suggesting as well, having like tiers of membership for the European
Union. Yeah, the multi-track Europe idea has been a thing. I mean, obviously, we're not a member of Schengen or the Eurozone. I just think that the EU does have it, and this is the thing I say in my review on the site, is that it,
which I'm sure is very good.
It's okay. but it's got like a centralizing tendency. That's the way it was set out. Mm-hmm. It's
ever greater union.
Ever closer union. Ever closer. Yeah. And it's this idea of more and more supranational government as opposed to intergovernment discussions, although mm-hmm. there's elements of both in the way the EU is currently set out.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, like the Eastern Bloc is still legally obligated to join the euro at some point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's only Denmark.
It was all new members after 2000 had to join the
euro. Yeah,
something
like that.
Right.
It's only Denmark and the UK that have permanent opt-outs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, it makes sense.
Does Sweden not?
I don't think so, no. Oh. But it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because there is stuff that can be done more efficiently at scale. But it's mm-hmm. also the idea of homogenizing the different EU member states.
Mm-hmm. But that was one of the failings of the European Union, or is one of the failings of the European Union, that they have a common currency without a common monetary policy.
Yeah.
And we saw that most starkly when we had the crisis in 2008-2009, and you had countries like Greece then basically having to be taken over and run centrally by, I mean, the EU, but Germany.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you needed to have some kind of a centrality to how people who use the euro as their currency, how they were determining spending.
Yes.
Would this multi-track Europe not allow for that to kind of fix itself a little bit more? So those who are under the same currency have to adhere to the same monetary policy, and then we can kind of do what we want.
I think, there's massive limits to the extent to which we can do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty moderate on migration personally, but it's obvious that the UK population as a whole wants there to be migration controls between the UK and the rest of the EU.
They are wrong though, aren't they?
I mean, to a certain point, it's just a point of view, it's a preference.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an exceptional arrogance, I think, of people like Nick Clegg and also people who work in the European Commission and stuff like that, that they just see this as morally right, and anyone who disagrees with us is just going to be crushed by process, basically.
I wouldn't say that the argument is moral. I think it's practical. I think it's, when you look at like the international stage, having a counterpoint to the superpowers of the world with Russia and China and the US makes sense, because our voices are stronger together than they are with 27 separate nations with similar viewpoints. And you can still have alliances, but having like a clear block of the European Union thinks this, I argue, on an international stage is actually incredibly powerful. Then you have the closeness of the Union when it comes to when it comes to trade and when it comes to development and all of those kinds of things, that is practical and useful. And obviously there are people like me who believe in a united Europe. But I think that actually this was one of the reasons that the Remain camp did so badly in the run-up to the referendum, because it's hard they understood that they're not going to be able to turn the whole of the UK into Europhiles. They're going to have to make the practical argument. And I think that the practical argument dispassionately wins, but the passionate kind of identity politics of we are British and therefore different won out in the end.
Well, I think if you, pragmatics isn't how people live their lives, and it's not, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the most important thing in how people make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there are very strong pragmatic arguments as to why the EU is a good thing, and the geopolitical argument certainly wouldn't connect. But there's like stuff like people would say, "Oh, it's going to take us really long to queue to get back into the EU when we go away on our holidays." But
that is going to be really shit.
Yeah, it probably will be. But I just think that if people want self-government, they should have it. I mean, it's the same thing as the Scottish referendum at the end of the day. Your position, I think, is more consistent, because you wanted the UK to stay together and you wanted the UK to remain in the EU, but I just didn't see enough differences between how Scotland and England principally are, but I saw significant enough differences between the UK and the rest of the EU.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but the way that I vote is through how I feel. And so I'm just the counterpoint to the problem of what I'm criticising with the Leave campaign, frankly. I'm a hypocrite.
I think most people, it's basically about how they feel. Just some people have, you know, more sophisticated sounding arguments to back it up.
What did you think of Clegg's solution to changing the tide and getting parties to agree to a second referendum or to reversing Brexit? He suggests that people should not join the Lib Dems, which is his old party. Mm. I'm sure Vince Cable is very happy about
that. Doesn't he advocate a sort of entryist strategy into Labour?
He basically wants there to be Brexit insurgents into the Conservative Party, into the Labour Party.
You mean anti-Brexit insurgents?
Yes, yeah. Sorry. And so that they can then shift the opinion of the membership of the parties, which is going to be an awful lot easier in the Conservative Party, I guess, than the Labour Party.
Because it's smaller membership.
Because it's a tiny membership. Yeah. I found that a puzzling conclusion.
It kind of makes sense as a logical strategy, but I don't really
I guess, it seems any, very inauthentic.
I don't really see any Remainers being willing to join the Tory Party. You know,
There are plenty. I know all of my Tory friends are Remainers. It's the Tory Brexiters that I have a problem with.
I mean, like, you know, the people who aren't already members of the Tory Party and who voted Remain, mm-hmm. I think often have a serious distaste for what the Tories represent. Mm-hmm. Almost like a visceral disgust kind of mechanism.
Even the use of the word Tory, I feel, is. Like whenever
so Tory did originate as a slur, and it does sound like a slur.
Yeah, and it's so, and it sounds like a slur, and is still used prolifically as a slur. And I don't think that that's necessarily fair.
They just need to come up with one for Labour, and then it will be fair.
Wankers.
There was yellow Tories for the Lib Dems after the coalition government.
Tartan Tories for the SNPs.
Yes. Red Tories. That's. I mean, that is a thing.
I mean, yeah, that's what's her name, Liz Kendall.
Liz Kendall
was
yeah.
a red Tory. You think that that would be effective, though? Do you think that there are enough Remainers who care enough about this to actually take up arms?
No, I don't think so. I don't. I think the political fundamentals are just against Clegg at this mm-hmm. point, and I think he probably knows that. But you know, books to sell. So
it's a very small book if you want to pick it up. Yeah.
It's not really worth reading. There are better books on the EU.
Yeah, we didn't have to pay for our copies, so it's fine.
That is true.
Thanks, Lena.
Sorry, Lena.
So, we should segue into the man who makes everybody's racist uncle feel palatable, Nigel Farage. He is clearly bored and wants something to do. It's not enough for him to have a job as a member of the European Parliament and a show on LBC and to be on TV every week. He also now wants to rerun the campaign so that he can put the whole issue to bed. He was on The Right Stuff, which is a really quite fantastic magazine programme on Channel 5.
You're on commission or something?
No. but he said, I now think that we should have... He said we should have a second referendum.
What was the reason for the interview?
Oh, it was just they were talking about the papers. It wasn't like a specific interview. He was there as a commentator.
Yeah, yeah.
And then let that slip. And then was later on every other programme. I think he just had a couple of days to fill and was like, I'm going to say something really outlandish and out of character so that I have something to do for the next 2 days.
I think he's just a gobshite who will say stuff if you put a microphone in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that he believes... So he's now changed his stance and thinks that they need to prepare for a second referendum rather than he thinks that we should have a second referendum. Do you believe either of his stances?
I mean...
Or is he just shit-stirring?
No, for reasons previously disclosed. In prior segment, rewind about 10 minutes.
Do you think that him saying it puts it on the table, though? It makes it more palatable, I think, especially to the hardcore Brexiteers, because they love him.
Who are these hardcore Brexiteers?
People who vote UKIP.
All right.
Or so voted UKIP.
Does anyone vote UKIP anymore?
No, because now UKIP has been swallowed by a pro-Brexit Conservative Party.
Mm.
But do you think that... I feel like he can... make that case of we need to shut this down, we need to stop all of the Remainers blocking things, which they're not actually really...
I don't think...
They're not doing very much to block Brexit, are we completely honest?
I mean, there's this thing going on in the Lords where they're forcing some sort of vote, or I can't remember.
Yeah, should have researched,
yeah. No, I don't think it stands a chance. The political fundamentals are bad. You know.
What do you mean by the political fundamentals are bad?
As in, well, they're going to have a vote on the deal, aren't they? Although, in practice, mm-hmm, it mm-hmm. appears to be that will be a vote between the deal that Theresa May has negotiated or no deal whatsoever, which is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
From Remainer's point of view.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And beyond that, what really is there that they can do? I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like he knows that they wouldn't win a second referendum. I think
it would be close, but it could go either way.
I don't know. I feel like there would almost definitely be a reversal of it.
But then if it was exactly reversed.
Can I also remind you that I've called like every election since like 2012?
You have no method for calling elections.
My gut is purely
on gut instinct.
Yeah, my gut instinct is great.
And you were wrong to say that Trump would win, because the likelihood was that Trump would lose. He just happened to win and kind of ditto Brexit.
Yeah,
actually.
So I was right.
But you were wrong. Like, you didn't give a probabilistic prediction. You just said...
It's okay, you're mad.
If you flip a coin and you say it's going to be heads, 100%,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be heads. It might be heads. There's a 50% chance it will be heads. So maybe, you're going to be right half the time.
Jimmy, maybe I'm just a clairvoyant.
Maybe.
There was... I know you didn't want to talk about the reshuffle, but there are some consequences.
Throw Barrett in anyway.
Yeah,
right,
there are some consequences to the reshuffle in that.
The only significant move in the reshuffle was Justin Greening was sacked.
Yeah, so that's what I want to talk
education
about.
Education secretary.
She was education secretary. Was reshuffled to wanted her to.
She
go
was
into,
offered to Department of Work and Pensions.
Yeah,
offered that.
Which right. sounds. Dull as fuck, to be fair. I'd have also quit. But now she is she has a very pro Remain constituency. She barely held on last year to her seat.
Mm.
And she it's possible that she's now going to be another kind of like big voice in the Conservative Party who would rebel against the Conservative line of the Brexit deal. Do you think that is going to affect it in any way? The fact that Theresa May has been making enemies.
I mean, what you'd need at the end of the day is like enough people who are willing to stop Brexit in the House of Commons. There's a majority of MPs voted Remain, but mm-hmm. that's not the same thing as saying there's a majority who would vote to stop Brexit.
It is on paper really possible because there is a parliamentary majority for staying in the EU. But because of the kind of wishy-washy stance that the Labour Party have, it seems unlikely that they're all of a sudden going to become a pro-Brexit party, a pro-Remain party. And you would need, in order to defeat the government, you'd need all of Labour, all of the tertiary and minor parties.
The SNP and so on, yeah.
And Plaid Cymru and the Lib Dems, who would all vote to stop Brexit,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe... like a handful of Tory rebels in order to defeat the government and have your own majority. And that's all they would also need in order to propose a second referendum. They'd just need a majority of... they'd just need Labour to come on over, and then it's possible, and they can vote for there to be a second referendum.
I suppose it is possible, although... I mean, it's difficult in practice for anyone other than the government to actually propose legislation, which is what you'd need to actually set up enough a referendum.
Usually, but in this case, because we have a hung parliament, it's very possible, though, right?
I thought it was a private members' bill type situation.
Oh, well, you tell me.
Yeah, I think it's difficult in practice, and I mean, I would point to the fact that Labour MPs didn't have enough, you know, the balls to actually oust Jeremy Corbyn.
Mm-hmm.
Just after the referendum, and that was more doable than what they are trying now.
Uh-huh.
So I doubt it, is all I would say.
There seems to be a lot of pontification from especially left-wing kind of like Brexit papers like the New Statesman and...
The New European.
And also the New European. They have great covers.
Terrible content, though.
Yeah, it's
like really quite boring features.
Yeah, it's not fantastic. I mean, that's a classic Remainer, though. We are kind of boring. but they seem to think that it's only a matter of time before Corbyn, who was basically a Brexiter,
Probably voted Leave. Like you would,
voted
you
Leave.
You would put money more likely to have voted Leave than. Mm-hmm,
but we'll never know. People seem convinced that eventually he's going to come around and have a more pro Remain stance, or at least Emily Thornberry, the shadow foreign secretary. Has been saying we need to leave the EU, but we need to not go very far. That was my Emily Thornberry impression. And kind of like that soft Brexit ideal is where they are at the moment. Mm. They're saying that it's only a matter of time before he comes in line with the rest of his membership.
Who's saying this?
The chattering classes, Jimmy. Entertain me.
I think this is just meaningless speculation, to be honest with you. There seems no significant reason to believe that the referendum would be reversed.
But do you really think that whatever it is that Theresa May ends up deciding is like the final Brexit deal is going to be able to be passed? She's so weak. Like, she's a joke. She's the butt of every fucking joke at the moment.
Well, but she's also the only plausible Tory leader at this point.
Yeah, because I feel very sorry for her. I was reading Mary Beard's book, Women and Power, which is quite good. You'd hate it. talked about equality. And
I'm going to let those slurs. She kind of stand.
She kind of thought. So she originally wrote it before the election last year, and she says that she suggests that Theresa May has been allowed to be leader and is being set up so that she can fail, so that she can be the Tory leader that fails, and then a man sweep it. It's a book about women and power. Don't laugh at me.
That's some awful conspiracy theory.
No, but I feel like there is a thing of the reason that there aren't any viable contenders for the Tory leadership, which in any other scenario would 100% make sense when you have such a weak leader. She is in that position so she can fuck everything up, and then they can switch it over once she's fucked up. Do you not think that there's a case for that?
Yeah,
and
but
forget
I,
that
I,
Mary
I,
Pitt,
I,
Mary
don't,
Beard
I don't think it has anything to do with the fact she's a woman, though. That's kind of dumb.
Yeah, that's not what I'm posing to you.
We need to word for assertions of sexism that are based on absolutely no evidence whatsoever.
Yeah, sure. We're not talking about that now. but do you think that there's a case for that? She's a caretaker so that the Tories can screw everything up?
Well, I think the sense is also that if the Tories were to replace her with someone else, there would be pressure to have a general election, and the Tories do not want to run another general election at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. That's your answer.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Do you want to talk about Trump?
Not particularly.
Is there anything this week that you wanted to talk about?
I enjoyed the Clegg section. You know, it's always good to have a go at him.
Why do you hate him? I want to be him when I'm older. He speaks 5 languages.
You're only on what? 4? 3?
6.
So you're already ahead of it.
Yeah, I'm already ahead of it.
Really, Clegg needs to want to be you, because
you're an
improved addition.
I also kind of want a strong Spanish lawyer as a spouse. So, yeah, totally down. So Trump was... It was so first of all, Fire and Fury came out at the beginning of the year, right?
Yes.
Or over Christmas, which was like a big expose that makes it seem... it confirms that Donald Trump is a giant toddler who eats... cheeseburgers from 6 p.m. That's early to start like winding down, to be completely honest. Gets in bed, watches TV and eats cheeseburgers.
There's probably something to be said for the leaders of countries not actually working every hour God gives and, you know, grinding themselves into
dust. I agree. I also, the whole thing of Margaret Thatcher only getting 4 hours of sleep a night.
Well, people speculate it contributed to her dementia.
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah. I can't imagine having anything less than 7. I can't function with anything less than that.
Mm.
So when I'm Prime Minister, I'm going to make sure there is. No.
Yeah. I'm just saying it'd be better to do less with, like, more sleep and therefore making better decisions.
Yeah, because the decisions that Trump's making are brilliant. So, kind of off the back of Fire and Fury coming out, which I'm going to try and get us a copy of, by the way. Maybe we'll do a book club for that as well. Like 3 months after it's actually relevant. It was leaked by people in the White House that when talking about immigration from countries like Haiti, what was the other?
El Salvador,
and Africa, he said, why are we taking immigrants from these shithole countries?
I think it was Dick Durbin, the senator, who originally revealed he said that.
Oh, good for him.
There's like various accounts now of like of what was actually said, and some people who are in the meeting haven't said what was said, and it's all, but he definitely said shithole, that appears to be, or shithouse.
A shithouse?
Yeah, that was one
line. A shithouse country. That's not a phrase says. Yeah. But there was after this, there was an awful lot of virtue signaling from the late night TV hosts.
That is a shocker.
Guys, newsflash. Donald Trump's a racist. Oh my god, I'm so edgy for calling the president a racist. I'm like, but literally, the day he announced his campaign, he called Mexicans racists and said that they should build a wall.
You mean rapists?
A rapist. Yes, sorry.
Yeah. There was also the whole, you know, not condemning neo-Nazis thing.
It just seems, you know, it's, yeah, also,
there's a lot of
I don't know who David Duke is. I wouldn't want to disavow him. We're telling you that he's the head of the KKK, my friend. Just disavow him. Anyway, all of a sudden, we've just, oh, thank God, we've realised Trump's a racist. Oh, at least we know now. Then we had Trump come out and say, actually, no, I'm not a racist, and I never said that.
Well, what he said was, I'm the least racist person you'll ever interview a bunch of reporters.
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that he's cleared that up, because imagine having a racist as the President of the United States.
I mean, people are shocked by that, but I would submit that a significant proportion of US presidents have been racist. Probably the majority.
Yeah, that was the joke.
Yeah. Sorry.
What do you think is the... Is there any significance to this other than Trump being Trump?
So we should kind of explain the context of the meeting he was in. They were discussing sort of extensions of temporary protection orders, or... which is when people from, you know, sort of war-ravaged or otherwise destroyed or disturbed countries are allowed to come over, I think, on a temporary basis. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the DACA thing. Does this make any sense to you? You're putting faces. It's part of, like, the overall sort of immigration kind of package.
No, this is good.
Kind of package.
I'm
learning. And... he specifically said after, why are we letting in people from these shithole countries? Well, he added, why aren't we letting people in from Norway, say?
So I occasionally watch some alt-righters on YouTube because echo chambers are bad. although they are insufferable. I can't remember the name of him, but he's like vaguely good-looking, so I don't watch
Paul
him.
Oh, Joseph Watson.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, him. I love that as soon as I said he's very good looking. I know.
You previously said. Have I? And he is also, even as a straight guy, he's quite good looking.
Yeah, no,
you
know, he's kind of hot. but terrible. he then turned the Trump said that Africa was a shithole to let's have a discussion about where you'd rather live, Haiti or Norway, which is an interesting way of completely changing the conversation.
If you're being really super generous to Trump, you could say he's discussing the merits.
I'm going to let you walk into this.
Of having migrants from poorer countries and migrants from richer countries. If you're being super generous.
If you're being
unreasonably generous. Unreasonably generous, I though...
and it was Trevor Noah from the Today,
who was actually from South Africa.
It's from South Shithole.
Yeah. One of the shithole countries.
He was like, Trump didn't just choose a white country, he chose the whitest country in Norway as like the example. Mm. Where all of the tall models come from.
I mean, he could have said France, I guess, or, you know, Spain. Or
France is quite ethnically, in European terms, ethnically quite diverse.
Was it significant he picked Norway? or
no, he just chose he chose a very white country. I think there's a reason he didn't choose somewhere like the UK and France, because we have diversity.
I mean
the dance group, not.
Do you think it was actually intended from his point of view as a racist thing, or does he just have a list of countries in his head that he thinks are shitholes?
I don't think that racism is necessarily always intentional. I don't think that racists in general think, I don't like Haiti because that's where black people live.
Mm.
I think that it's an accumulation of the things that is, like they make excuses for not liking the place because they don't like the fact that there's black people there. See, I don't think anybody think... the only people that do say, I don't like black people because they're black, are the KKK.
Right. See, I'm not sure the remark in and of itself was racist, although I think Trump is a racist, if that makes sense.
Yes, like, I do think that it's a racist remark.
Yeah, but...
To call the whole of Africa a shithole.
Was it the whole of Africa? I thought it was just certain countries that were being discussed.
It was certain countries that were being discussed, but it was broadly, like, all of Africa.
Yeah. It is funny he used that phrase, though, because in the UK we generally use that phrase to describe, say, Croydon or Stoke.
Mm-hmm. Which are very white.
I mean, Croydon isn't.
Oh, isn't it? No. Oh, Stoke is.
Croydon is very ethnically diverse.
Oh, good for them.
And it is also a shithole. I went to school there, so.
I can confirm.
Yeah.
Do you think that this means that Oprah is going to win in 2020?
Are you just, like, you know, shoveling in whatever you want to talk about at this point?
Well, because we were talking about this a little bit earlier, that she is basically the polar opposite of Donald Trump in terms of that she's a woman, she's black.
She's also similar in that she's a TV star.
Yes, but a clever one.
Cleverer than Trump, I wouldn't say she's...
I don't think that's necessarily
genius.
Difficult.
No, it's a low bar.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are lots of clips of Oprah Winfrey saying very contemptible, dumb, asinine shit on her show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, like... I would argue
she's probably never suggested that she grab someone by the man pussy.
By the man pussy. Yeah. Probably not, but... Mm-hmm. I'm not even really sure that's the worst thing Trump has said. But yeah, she hasn't said anything outright offensive other than her show is dumb and it caters to dumb
people.
Have
you ever watched it?
I have watched bits of it,
yes.
Oh,
really? Yeah. Oh, I'm impressed. It's more than I've ever done.
Yeah.
I thought she was very good in The Colour Purple.
I mean, maybe she's like a secret genius. I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, she obviously is a...
No, she's like she's a business owner that hasn't been bankrupt before.
I mean,
I think that you have to be... Trump just ended up with a load of money, whereas Oprah has genuinely built like a multi-billion-dollar company.
That is true, although that isn't necessarily a qualification for running a country.
No, not necessarily, but I think that if we...
She's certainly more qualified than Trump, for again, yeah, not saying
but
much.
Also not very difficult. But I think that if we are going to... If this is the direction that especially popular politics, where you have... individuals running for presidencies, for example, like what you have in France and the USA. If we are going in the world that we live in, it's inevitable that celebrity is going to end up being factored into this. A candidate like Trump, I think, has been inevitable since the 2000s, rather than a traditional political candidate. And if we are going to end up having those kinds of people run more, I mean, I told you earlier, The Rock has genuinely said, I'm going to run in 2024. Like, unironically.
Yeah. And Mark Zuckerberg is the other.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg is almost definitely going to run for something.
And even, like, I mean, not a entertainment celebrity, but Michael Bloomberg sort of floated the idea of running.
Yeah, but he
briefly,
was like, he's been a mayor.
Yeah. But he wasn't anything to do with politics before he became mayor of New York, was he?
No.
So,
apart from, like, owning a news network and...
In some ways... It's not actually that different from America's historic tradition of letting kind of former soldiers run as... Because that's about profile, isn't it, at the end of the day?
But that's what I think it is. It's like there is this shift of celebrity being like the greatest thing that you can possibly be.
Mm.
And I think in the history of the United States, you had the soldier being the most... highly valued member of society, and that just isn't true anymore.
Mm.
Now it's people who are celebrities on television, in the movies. And if we are going to have people from those backgrounds run, I'm not 100% mad about it, because they are usually not the people that end up making the political decisions in terms of like policy and stuff. They are the figurehead and the beacon, which actually really is what a president is meant to be, rather than kind of like the person who dictates what actually happens. It's meant to be Congress and the Senate that actually end up doing legislation.
Yeah, but I mean, in practice, the American presidency has mm-hmm. increased its powers over time, so...
But maybe we should have a more monarch-like president, and I'd be down for Oprah being Queen of the United States.
Yeah, what you're saying, in fact, what you said explicitly before I lured you into it, is that you think America should reinstate the monarchy.
Yeah. Beyoncé and Jay-Z, why not?
I think we can leave this here.
I'm done now.
I think we're going to improve on that statement. So, which I don't endorse, by the way. If you know, leave that on the table.
Please, guys, let us know what you think of these topics. Are we going to be able to stop Brexit and make Britain great again? Do you want to stop Brexit and make Britain great again? Is Farage just looking for some attention? And are we going towards Queen Beyoncé? Find us on Twitter at RiderSonic. I'm at JazzaJohn.
I'm at JDE Nichols.
Also, we have a website, and Jimmy wrote a thing.
RiderSonic.com.
Yeah, I'm going to write a thing this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, about why we should actually quite like Theresa May.
I think infuriatingly, your post of like top political podcasts is still the thing that generates us the most traffic on the website, which is sad, I think.
I don't know. I'm just good at the clickbait. All right, shall we go?
We shall.
Bye.
Bye.